You're listening to a podcast from 702.
So we are putting our focus on an interesting initiative. Towards the end of 2020, as COVID-19 numbers were climbing amid some optimism about news around the development of vaccines, there was a process launched by the COVID-19 or C-19 People's Coalition to develop a vaccine alliance and plan. Now, the People's Vaccine Campaign published a call to action, which has been endorsed by a number of NGOs and individuals. I was going through the list earlier on. So far, about 500 organizations across civil society have endorsed this particular plan of action. And it's from a whole variety of host of areas, because NGOs of course work in different areas of South African life, and so it's great to see how broad this consensus is. And so these include organizations like the Black Sash, the TAC, that's the Treatment Action Campaign, the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation, academic institutes, trade unions, and also the South African Council of Churches, and even down to individuals who also endorse this particular message. And so this afternoon, we're speaking to Norma Ranjana, who is a national manager at the Treatment Action Campaign. And we'll give you more details about where you can take a closer look at these efforts around the people's vaccine, this call to action, and the activism that is involved in ensuring that we see more equity, where we see more transparency when it comes to the rollout of this vaccine. Norma, thank you so much for joining us. Good afternoon. Do we have
you? Good afternoon.
Hello, Norma. Thank you so much for being with us. You know, I was just thinking about the logo that you have employed for this particular coalition, and it literally mimics the structure of the COVID-19 virus. Instead of those little spikes that attach to our cells, you've got the fists, you know, the power fists coming out of coming out of a circle to resemble this COVID-19 virus. And I thought there was incredible power in that, that if we start to shift, you know, the conversation through activism, through taking power back, we'll be able to get the sort of outcomes that we want together as a society. Norma?
I think, yes, you are correct. The whole idea is to make sure that everybody gets involved. And it's a coalition. It's not just one entity. It's a group of entities, and they're not necessarily the same. They come from different backgrounds, different walks of life. Mm-hmm. But together, we've got one common interest. So that's why you see the diversity also in the logo.
Yes, the diversity, not just in the logo, but to the organizations that have come on board. So why was there a need to mobilize civil society, you know, at this point? Of course, you've been sharing your views on a number of developments over time, but now we're seeing this mobilization around the vaccine rollout. What were your concerns that brought about a need to mobilize in this fashion?
We need to be honest. Government cannot do it alone. Let's start from there. Mm. We have seen government doing its best to address problems in the country. And they have been failing in terms of meeting the demand. Our health system is actually struggling at the moment. There are major problems that we have seen in terms of response in terms of COVID-19. But now, if we were looking at a massive rollout of the vaccine, it would require a lot of people. It would require a lot of engagement at a local level. It will require a lot of information. It will require a lot of commitment. At the moment, if you look around, you can tell that government, as much as it is ready to do the work, as much as the Department of Health is actually willing to do the work, the reality is that they do not have the enough person power. That's the first problem.
And you're right, because civil society
on the ground.
Noma, I think we're going to get you on a better line. Let's just take a break quickly, and then we're going to give you a call because there's some interference coming in on this line. We've tried to connect with Noma via Zoom, and we're not seeing enough adequate stability on this particular line. So let's take a break and bring her back. That's Noma Ranjana, who is a national manager at the Treatment Action Campaign, and they are one of the many organizations that has lent its voice, that is part of this People's Coalition, to develop a vaccine alliance and a plan. And we'll get a sense of what it is that this plan entails as they seek to assist government, because lots of NGOs, many of these civil society organizations have stood in the gap where government has been unable in the past. And we've looked at, we've turned to NGOs to provide much needed services. And once again, they're offering to do so as far as, and play their part as far as this vaccine rollout is concerned.
Spend your afternoon with Azania Mosaka on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
We're back with Noma Ranjana, who is the national manager at the Treatment Action Campaign, as we look at the people's vaccine, this coalition, this alliance that's coming together around a vaccine plan. So Noma, just before we tried to reestablish you on a better line, you know, I was thinking about the family meetings where President Cyril Ramaphosa often refers to the need for various partners like civil society to play a part in the management of this pandemic. And the fact is many of the civil society organizations who have signed up to be part of this organization, or coalition rather, who've endorsed this message, often stand in the gap where government is unable to meet its obligation. And so let's look at the why you needed a united response, and why you needed a single voice, for instance, for this coalition and this move forward.
I think the most important thing around this issue was that we needed to have civil society and other organizations that are operating on the ground, who have got access and understanding what the challenges are on the ground, who can actually assist and support in terms of ensuring that there is education on the ground. Remember, this vaccine is actually a new thing. A lot of people do not understand what is it all about. And roll out of the vaccine on its own, it's going to require a lot of resources and a lot of people on the ground. The question that we are having is, how is government going to do it alone without the engagement of other forces that are out there on the ground, especially civil society and other community-based organizations that are already having access to communities, that are already knowing how to contact and talk to people on the ground. With the vaccine coming up, a lot of people need to understand why is it needed to have the vaccine? Why do they need to be vaccinated? What does the vaccine do to their bodies? And why is it important to participate, to take it? And who would be the first people to take the vaccine? All that information becomes critical, but we do understand that government on its own will not be able to do it.
And you're so right, because there have been concerning levels of disinformation and misinformation going on around the vaccine. And that's often when there hasn't been enough education. When there's a vacuum, something else will fill that gap. And in this case, it's been disinformation. So we need more education on the vaccine and at grassroots level, as many of our listeners have been calling for, saying that we wouldn't have these doubts, these questions, this hesitancy, for instance, if there was an information, a concerted drive to educate people. This is one of the components that you are including as part of the action plan.
Yes. And the other concern that we are having is that government has ordered 1.5 million units of the vaccine. But our understanding is that we need more, millions more than that. And also the money allocated to the purchase of the vaccine itself doesn't seem clear in terms of, like, will it meet the demand? So if government is only going to meet in February in terms of, like, the budget allocations and stuff like that, the question one is having is, how are we going to be purchasing the vaccine in the meantime? How are the resources going to be gathered to purchase the vaccine? Mm-hmm. And also the other challenge here is that the plan itself is very clear, but we need to be clear who would be the people that would actually be the first to get the vaccine, and how will they be getting the vaccine, and who will be the next people, and how will everybody else understand how this vaccine is being distributed. And there's the also issue of whether the nationals and the, in South Africa, you must remember that as much as we are in the country, there's also a number of people who are not necessarily South African. They are living in this country. What does it mean in terms of the vaccine and those people who are actually living in the country? Will they be getting the vaccine or not? And how is this going to be done? And community healthcare workers are actually based on the ground. These are the people who are actually low paid, and they are not necessarily taken seriously by government at the moment. Yet they are the ones that do the bulk of the work on the ground. The question would be, how do they feature in the vaccine access? And also, because if you look at it, they are likely to be some of the people that will be needed to go out there and actually assist in the vaccination. And the other challenge that we're sitting with is where you look in terms of like the staffing. Currently, there is not enough staff within the current healthcare system. How are we going to make sure that we've got enough staff members, enough nurses and any other people who will be going out there and vaccinating people? What actually is the plan to going around doing that? There's a lot of issues that are at play.
Exactly. So when I look at the range of organizations that have endorsed this message, that's why it was good to see the wide spectrum, including organizations like nurses unions, for instance, because their voice, as you said, they are instrumental or involved in the healthcare sector. Mm-hmm. So their voice is needed, just by way of example. Now, you also say that austerity in a pandemic is disastrous. Can you speak more to why the coalition believes this?
I think the issue here is more to talk about how can we actually look at funding? How can we look in terms of like where the money is going to come from? We have seen a lot of challenges within the healthcare sector where budgets have been cut. We have seen allocations that are actually not necessarily in line with what government is actually saying right now. The public health care budget is actually not what it's supposed to be. It keeps getting lower. It keeps getting cut instead of actually increasing. And the question that one is having is, how do we as a country survive a situation of COVID-19 when we are not even taking health seriously? When we are not committing any money into health, where there is not enough money into health R&D, when there is not enough money into hiring new or qualified nurses who would support the facilities, you do not actually have enough facilities that are functioning at an optimum level. A lot of healthcare facilities are in shambles. They are collapsing. They are not actually meeting their mandate. And the question there is, we are where we are right now, but why is it that we're not even putting resources into the healthcare system?
So in order to fight this, we'll need to abandon an austerity approach to the health budget or the health department. So from what you're saying, Noma, it sounds like you'll be playing or would like to play various roles, a support form, to support government on the one hand, and then on the other hand, of course, to provide oversight in terms of accountability.
Yes.
And that accountability is not only around things like corruption on government side, right? As we have seen in the past, even at the weekend, we read plans about centralizing the vaccine process to prevent a repeat of what we saw with the PPE scandal, because our government has a poor track record. But will you also be directing that kind of oversight and demand for accountability from the private sector, pharmaceutical companies, vaccine providers, medical schemes, etc., the private sector that will be part of this work?
I think one, the big pharmaceutical companies are a big challenge because for them it's about money. They are not interested in anything else, because if it was not about money, we would be talking about generics of this vaccine readily available and out there and cheap and accessible immediately. But there are problems. If you're talking about the private sector,
The private sector, as much as part of the work that we are doing as a coalition, is actually to look in terms of like how can it finance some of the things that need to be done by this coalition to ensure that we actually get a properly planned and distributed vaccine plan within the country and that reaches everybody. That is actually fair. And also, like, it ensures that the majority of the people that need to be vaccinated are vaccinated. We were talking about education and everything else. We as a coalition do not necessarily have resources to do that. We're looking at those resources to actually support that. And at the same time, you're talking about the medical thing.
Oh, the line with Norma, now the cell phone line as well, is giving us a little bit of a challenge. Let's try and ask her to move around just off air. Norma Ranjana, she is the national manager at the Treatment Action Campaign. And I wonder what sort of lessons, you know, can be just taken from our experience with the fight for anti-HIV and AIDS, for the rollout of antiretroviral drugs. As you remember, the Treatment Action Campaign was at the forefront of that fight. And here we are again at a moment in history where we can look to the past, right, and borrow lessons from that particular experience. Norma, allow you to finish your thought as far as the private sector is concerned. So you're saying they can resource things like education campaigns?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Now, I was just saying that they can resource that. And also, we're looking at one program for the country, not a program that would cover medical aid and then the public sector. We're looking at one program that would cover all South Africans. Not necessarily that would actually disadvantage some people over the other.
You know, it was so sad to see that in some poor areas, the death rate has been double the national average. And so it does speak to the inequality that we need to keep an eye on. So that's why I was excited, for instance, to see that you have this coalition so that there is a voice that can raise these matters where they can quickly be neglected. What do you believe we can learn from the TAC's experience, as well as others, when we think of the antiretroviral rollout in the fight against HIV and AIDS from many years ago?
Okay, the difference between then and now is that the government is on board and the government is not denying that there is a problem. And the government is willing to put resources into addressing the problem. And also to see that the government is also willing to listen to suggestions from other entities. The only missing link is where government is not necessarily consulting civil society in a way that is actually ensuring that civil society understands what the plans are that government wants to put together.
So are you at the table, Norma? Are you at the table, as the president often alludes to during those family meetings?
No, what I'm saying is that we see there is consultation, but it's not enough.
Okay.
The consultation is there, but it's not enough. As much as the government, for an example, is sharing the plan for the vaccine distribution and stuff like that, the concerned people, which is the healthcare workers, don't even know what's going on. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
The people who are supposed to be reached by the vaccine have no idea what is this talk about vaccine and what does it mean. And with the misinformation and disinformation, there's a lot of chaos going out there, and government is oblivious of that fact. So it becomes very critical to have these kind of structures to be readily available to address some of those issues. But the issue here, you were saying that what do you learn from, we learn from the past. It's that we are more united now than we were back then. And also, there is no denialism on the side of government, which is a positive thing on our side. But the only thing that we're looking at government is how do we actually put more resources in this response, rather than, it's easy to say things and talk about them, but we do not see the money. We do not see the actual rent saying that they will cover this number of people, because we've got a lot of people that are actually that have tested positive with COVID-19. Yet a lot of people are dying, which means there is a problem. There's something we're not doing right. And then you look at the numbers of people within the country in terms of like who would need to be vaccinated. And you're looking at what has been committed to date. There is a problem with that. So government can do better than they are doing right now.
And civil society is ready to help. So as far as the C19 People's Coalition is concerned, where is the structure at the moment? And the sort of work that we can start anticipating from you in the near future?
At the moment, we're looking at how do we actually engage communities? Mm-hmm. How do we start working on issues like education? What kind of things? How do we actually engage communities in terms of educating them, for them to understand what tools are we going to use? What methods are we going to use? Because we have got a better understanding as civil society and other organizations that are working at communities, that this types of community would respond better in this way. So we're busy looking in terms of those, so that when the rollout actually starts, people are ready, they understand, and they are ready for the vaccine.
Wonderful. Noma, thank you so much for your time. We'll keep an eye out on the work that will be coming out of the People's Coalition as they fight for the people's vaccine, equity, justice, transparency, and of course, partnership. I think that is the overarching message here to the partnership that is being offered by civil society to government and the private sector in this vaccine rollout in the fight against COVID-19.